Hi, I'm Connor Tobias, editor-in-chief of Tallow Creek Magazine, and today we're doing a very special episode of the Tallow Creek podcast. It's doubling as the launch of issue 48, which is the broadsheet newspaper issue, which is available now on stands and should have come to your mailbox already. I know we said we were going to be back to live events in 2022, and we are going to be not there quite yet. We'll do this as a little stopgap, and then we will be easing back into things soon. And since we've done so many video launches over the last couple of years, I thought maybe we would shake things up today and just do an audio launch. As most people probably know, if you've gotten the new issue already, it is 16 pages of stories and 8 pages of comics. And the front page breaking news is that Tallow Creek will be wrapping up this fall after its 50th issue on the eve of its 25th anniversary. We've got two people who are going to read for us today, two the authors from the new issue, Suzanne Alyssa Andrew. Hi, Suzanne.
Hello.
And Rebecca Skoczynski. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Let's just get to some readings. We'll start with Suzanne. Suzanne is a contributing editor to Tallow Creek and its former associate editor. And she's in Vancouver, where she's an author, writing instructor, and coach. Hi, Suzanne.
Hello. So thank you to Tattle Creek for having me read, and thanks to everybody for listening. I'm reading from a ghost story called Fit to Print. A Gen X witchy entrepreneur who helps ghosts move on is awakened in the night by a dreadful noise. So we'll pick up where she discovers a ghost has possessed her office printer. It was Shakespeare who called mustard seeds eyes of newt and buttercups toe of frog, and popularize those overwrought witchy memes. I suppose storytellers must embellish for effect to sell their tales. I'm more of a snarky malcontent in personality, and I attract minor attention from the spirit realm. My colleagues get wizened guides showing them pathways to enlightenment in their dreams. And I'm stuck with visits from the tricksters, along with the bored, the dazed, and confused. They're restless spirits, all of them. I lit the red pillar candle on my desk and leaned down to collect my printer pages at my feet, not expecting anything profound. "I know," read the first page. "Who you are," threatened the second. That didn't raise the stakes like it would have in previous witch-burning obsessed centuries, but I was willing to hear this messenger out. I was up and wide awake after all. I picked up a third page and a fourth. "Help me, I'm stuck in the here, not there," said the pages. Huh, a purgatory plea then, using up a great deal of toner with his urgent oversized font. The printer lights glowed red and then went out. I sat down on the floor of my office and placed the candle under my chin for dramatic effect. "It's gonna cost you, my friend," I said. "Do you want to pay in doubloons, guineas, pounds, or dollar bills?" The printer clicked, whirred, and spat. I caught the page midair as it floated down. "E-transfer?" the page said. "Oh, yes, of course," I said. "You're a millennial spirit then. Did you Google me from the here, not there? I have a good rating. Feel free to add your own before you move on. If you want to include a crystal to the cauldron for your journey, I offer attractive deluxe VIP packages. Boomers never want that stuff, but a little slab of quartz can really get your glow on, I always say." I paused, not wanting to oversell it. There's a long delay before the click whirs of the printer. This time I spun the pages and read them midair before floating them swiftly towards the recycle bin. "Yes, quartz," said the pages. And then, "Why am I here?" I found a piece of chalk, then drew a circle around myself on the slate floor, followed by an intricate pattern of runic symbols and lines. "Huh, looks like you did something careless, and pieces of your spirit are unable to catch up with you in the present moment. Let me see." There is a click and flash from the printer, but no page. Ah, a little shame then. I understand, but you're a smart one. It takes telepathic fitness to work a printer. I think you just took something a little bit too far in life, and that's all right, love. Regret will only prolong purgatory. Do you wish to move on now? I sense you're ready. It'll feel like a release, and you'll find relief. I really hope the spirit was ready because I wanted to go back to bed. I stifled the yawn. The printer flashed white and red in rhythmic pulses like a dance club light. Ah, that looks like a yes. Very good, I said. You're doing so well, and I acknowledge you for your communications creativity. One doesn't always need to tap on a wall or slam a door. I like your flair, my dear. I drew 3 more chalk circles and closed my eyes. I saw the spirit in her old body wandering through a bright field of yellow sunflowers. She held a wide-brimmed hat and wore a gold necklace with a charm that spelled Kaylee. Then I saw her climbing a mountain in shiny boots. Uh-oh. That influencer adventure junket didn't go well. Poor thing. She stepped back from the safe edge of a cliff for a better selfie. And that's how that life ended early and unresolved. Now her spirit was in pieces. It won't be long now, lovely, I spoke in calming tones, trying to be as comforting as possible. I needed to convince this fragmented soul to unite. The mortgage was due. You're a vivid and restless spirit, I said. You've traveled far. I asked the pieces of you left on the mountain to collect here and now in my palms. The window shuttered in its casing as a gust blew in. The printer flashed. I asked the pieces of your spirit left in the park ranger hut in the local infirmary to join us now, here and now in my palms. When I looked down at my hands, I held a red gripper, a daisy, a clear rubber bouncy ball, and a silver horn from a plush unicorn. It was not for me to judge these remnants of a life. Whatever symbols a person held dear ultimately did not matter. It was the sentiment they possessed that did. My actual cauldron was aflame in the basement, slow-cooking infinite vegan cauliflower curry, my signature dish. So I placed the items in a ramen noodle bowl, added the quartz, and set the bowl on top of the printer for the ghost. There you are, dear, reunited, I said. I stood back and watched the red daisy rise into the air and disappear into a shimmering crimson sparkle. The quartz evaporated with a pink glimmer. Then the ball bounced as if juggled, flashed as it dematerialized. As the unicorn began to float, I thought, my job is so easy. But these days, negativity can creep in posthumously and wreck rituals. Under a bridge, inside a cave, or lurking within the dank depths of a townhouse basement, an internet troll posted a vicious comment to Kaylee's last Instagram post. It was liked and laughed at, giving it more energy. An independent negative thought form appeared as an ugly red slash of dark matter in my office. It stank like rotten broccoli. Oh, honey, ignore the bullies, I said to Kaylee. But the printer beeped mournfully as the unicorn horn dropped to the floor. It's all right, love, I reassured, even though it was obvious from where the horn fell in the runes and circle patterns, it was quite the opposite. I'll leave the ghost story on a cliffhanger there with a witchy entrepreneur battling the negative energy, and you'll have to follow me to see what happens. But rest assured, this witch knows all the tricks. Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. That's great. Our second and final reader is Rebecca Skoczynski. Rebecca lives in Thunder Bay, Ontario. She's a freelance writer and editor, and her works appeared in Grain and the New Quarterly and Room. And she's making her Tattle Creek debut in this issue, which unfortunately is also her Tattle Creek finale, but only because it's we're winding down, not because we don't like her or anything like that. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Tattle Creek. That was a wonderful read, Suzanne. I'm just really happy to be here virtually and otherwise. And I'm going to be reading from A Starry Dreamcatcher, just an excerpt, but I'll be starting from the beginning. So hopefully you'll be able to follow along right away without, I won't give you any preamble. I am May Graham. I'm holding onto a balloon by its string outside the Shoppers Drug Mart that is a half a block from my house. Listen, it isn't just any old balloon. It is a limited edition, one-of-a-kind balloon slash dream catcher that I made to protect me. I saw a show about dream catchers on TV and how people use them to keep away bad dreams. I watch a lot of TV. Mom says it's rotting my brain, so now I do word exercises. Mostly I rhyme. Climb, time, grime, dime, chime. To make the dream catcher, I got a balloon that said best wishes on it and attached a crow feather that I found in the back lane, plus an entire pack of gold star stickers. I've decided mine is a two-way dream catcher. It is designed to catch and send dreams, and it's more powerful than wishing on a star. My dreams are either about Liz Lemon, good, or Uncle Mick, bad. Lately, the bad ones are winning. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Tomorrow, we have to visit Uncle Mick in jail. He isn't really my uncle, but Mom said to call him that to make him feel welcome. Uncle Mick is a bad man, but love is blind. About 3 months ago, his hunting knife met my face by accident. I figure it was at least 78% my fault because I scared him when he was sleeping it off on the couch. I thought he was dead, and if that turned out to be true, I was going to throw a party. No cake. At first, the cut felt cold. Then it got hot, real hot. He shoved my face under the bathroom faucet to get it to stop bleeding, yelling all the while for me to put my neck at this angle, no, that angle. But no matter what angle, the blood kept running into my mouth, making me gag. Later, he painted my face with liquid Band-Aid. That stung something fierce. You should know that I'm not exactly like Liz Lemon. Her hair is dark and wavy and shiny, and mine is blonde and straight and stringy, even when it's clean. She's older and taller and stuff, but yesterday, when I was doing my walk by the magazine stand, I saw the headline. Liz Lemon from 30 Rock reveals the mystery behind her scar. She was slashed across the face by a stranger when she was only 5 years old. I wanted to read the rest of it, but Nancy in cosmetics is like the police. You peek, you pay, she says to everyone, rich or poor. Soar, bore, more, core, roar. Plan A was to stand beside Liz Lemon where the power would be the strongest, but Nancy wrecked it. Look, kid, I like you, but you can't be in here with that balloon thing, she said. It's a dream catcher, I corrected, giving the string a pull. Right, dream catcher, whatever. Well, can I stand outside? Whatever floats your boat, just don't block the door, okay? So now I'm outside, plan B. It's my dream to have Liz fly me to where she lives. I'm guessing she has a security guard and a bodyguard and a guard dog. Once she hears about my scar, I know she'll want to help me. She will be able to tell me how she overcame such an awful thing. She must have found a way to handle the jumpy feeling that still rises in my ribcage at the memory of it. And now she's on TV. That's a private dream of mine that even my dream catcher doesn't know. So, blow, row, stow, low. Hi, Giuseppe, I say to the man approaching. He's wearing a gray suit with a striped tie and a fedora. His eyebrows are as thick as a mustache. He's the only man I've seen in a suit. Most people in our neighborhood wear pajama bottoms, or jeans that hang so low you can see their underwear. I'm wearing the one good dress that I wear for special occasions, and not so special, like funerals. It's plain, but it's all I've got. Giuseppe's daughter's hair used to be blonde, but now it's white. She moved in to help him, so everywhere he goes, she goes. If I ever get away from Mom, there's only a 50% chance I'd ever go back. You remember Elsie, don't you, Pop? She says. Giuseppe and his daughter live a couple of doors down from us. He used to have a big garden with tomatoes and grapes before he forgot how to put seeds into the ground. He doesn't remember who I am anymore. I used to think that was sad, but that was until I had something I wanted to forget. Before my stitches came out, I wasn't supposed to smile. And now I can't smile without thinking about it all. Couch, Uncle Mick, slice, shit, ouch. I smell the ocean, he says, and coconuts. Oh, that's me, I say, feeling my cheeks getting hot. I sprayed on some perfume. It's nice, he says. I watch the backs of their heads and think about how strange ears are, like rubbery horns. I'm too embarrassed to tell Giuseppe why I sprayed perfume. It's called Island Ecstasy, and it comes in a bottle with a bracelet around its neck and a flip-flop charm. After Nancy gave me the boot, I snuck over and did one squirt of it behind each ear and one on my wrist, and then I rubbed my wrists together. Island Ecstasy smells like coconut and pineapples and palm trees, and apparently the ocean. So salty, maybe? I don't know. Lots of people leave their dogs tied up out front of the store. Dogs make me uncomfortable because even when they look happy, they can bite if you get too close to them. I heard they can smell fear. Now my fear is covered up. I hope the dream catcher is working. I like to think of the good things coming one side, the bad things leaving the other. If it doesn't work, I'll have to go to plan C. I don't have a plan C. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Suzanne. Those were both great readings. Thanks for being with us today and doing this. I appreciate it. You can read full news stories by Suzanne and Rebecca and lots of other people in Tattle Creek number 48, which is now available. And like I said, we'll slowly be easing back into live events. We'll be semi-live at the Jet Fuel Coffee Shop sometime this June. Keep an eye out for more info on that. And then late summer, date to come, hopefully the launch for Tattle Creek number 50, 25th anniversary / final issue. We'll be somewhat have a regular launch and we'll be back live. Our podcast theme is by Richard Underhill. Everything else is by me. Thank you for listening.